My name is Tony Miles. I am the pastor down at New City Fellowship, 82nd Street, your sister church in the Lord. And what a blessing it is to be down here with you today. My family is here. For those of you who don't know me, but this is my wife, Tanya, and these are two of my kids here. And then I have two teenagers, or one of them, running around somewhere in the building. So just a joy to be here with you all this morning to get to open up God's Word and share with you from the Word of God. So let's do that. Let's turn in our Bibles to Titus 3. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. So this is Titus 3, beginning at verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy. And I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels above the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we are grateful to you for your word, and we are thankful for how you work by your word through the power of your spirit to do that work in our hearts, making us more like your son and our Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray, God, be with us this morning by the power of your spirit. Change us, transform us, Lord. The places where our hearts need to be convicted, we pray, convict us. Where we need to be encouraged, encourage us, Lord. Where we need to be healed, heal us. This morning, Spirit of God, be at work in each of our hearts, we pray, as we sit together under your word and under your authority. In Jesus' name, amen. I turned 41 in October of last year. And to my kids, I might as well be Plato or Socrates, because they think I'm ancient. And their repeated refrain, these last couple of years has actually been, Dad, you're old. Yes. Now, I wasn't expecting that at 41, just let me tell you. And so I started adjusting my wardrobe to compensate for it. I broke out the Air Jordans and the jeans and the T-shirt to match. And then I went from being old in their minds to being dusty, which I can only guess is worse than old. But one of the funniest reasons they think I'm old is because I repeat things to them that they've heard me say before. And so they will say, Dad, you just said that. Why do you keep telling us the same stuff? We heard you the first time. New City, you know this. And those of you who have been in ministry know this. And those of you who instruct others in the gospel know this, that ministry is bound up in reminding each other of the things that our Lord has told us. Amen. It is in essence stating the same message again and again. Sure, the mode may change, the method may change, the cultural context will shape the language and the ideas and the symbols we use to communicate that message, but the message is the same, and it is a message entrusted to all of us, especially those of us who are called to share that gospel and preaching and teaching others. But it is a message that we are meant, every single one of us who know the gospel, we're meant and we've been called into this calling of reminding each other of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ into this world filled with unkind words and unloving acts. God sent a Savior, Jesus, who is, to all of us, God's word of kindness and love. He is the message of God's redemption to all of us. The gospel is God's word of kindness. It is God's word of love. It is God's word of mercy. It is God's word of generosity. It is God's word of justification. It is God's word of grace and his word of hope. It is God's word of eternal life to all who believe. And this word of the gospel, says Paul, is a trustworthy saying. You can bank on it. It is God's guarantee to you. God's word can be trusted. And in a culture where straight up lies are paraded as truth, one needs, right, by the way, a trustworthy word, right? You need a word that you can bank on. You need a word that is a guarantee, right? In the midst of all of the lies you hear from the world around you, all the lies that you hear from your own flesh, all the lies that you hear from the evil one as he speaks words of doubt into your heart, you need a trustworthy word, a word that can be banked on. And that is the gospel. It is a trustworthy saying. And here is what Paul knew. Here's what I want to commend to you, New City Fellowship. He knew that even Christians can lose sight of that word of truth. Even believers, even those who have put their hope and their faith in Jesus can lose sight of the trustworthy word of the gospel. He knew that this trustworthy word of the gospel of God's kindness and love, he knew that it could be hijacked by agendas that are not in keeping with God's commitment to redeem this world at every level of its brokenness. The gospel isn't just a trustworthy saying. It is the trustworthy saying of God for a world that needs redeeming at every level. For human beings that need redeeming at every level, for systems and structures that need redeeming at every level, for a church that needs redeeming at every single level. And if you want to be a church experiencing and participating in that redemption, then we must be reminded, and we must be reminding each other of this trustworthy word of God's kindness and love that has appeared to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen, church. So remind each other. Remind each other, New City, and remind the world around you of this word of truth. And what should be in that reminder? That's what I want to say to you this morning. What should be in that reminder as you speak to one another of this trustworthy word of the gospel? What are you meant to be reminding each other of? What are you meant to be encouraging each other in? And what are you meant to be speaking to the world around you? Well, Paul tells us. He tells us what we should be reminding each other of. And he says, in essence, remind each other of the Lord's rescue. Of the Lord's rescue. Remind each other, in other words, that you ain't what you used to be. I got one witness. Anybody else out there know that you ain't what you used to be? You ain't what you used to be, not because of what you have done, but because of the Lord's mercy. You ain't what you used to be because God is in the business of rescuing folk from what they used to be and transforming them into what he created them to be in the first place. The foolishness, the disobedience, the deception, the enslavement to passion and malice and envy and hatred that was you no longer defines you because God saved you, because he rescued you from what you were to shape you into what you ought to be. He didn't say you were perfect. He didn't say that he was done with you. But he did say he rescued you. He gave you a new birth. He poured his spirit into you. He made you together with his son an heir of true life, eternal life. God, I like to say it this way, changed your zip code. He took you out of the zip code where death reigned, and he put you into the zip code where life reigns. You're not what you used to be. Because you don't live where you used to live. Oh, man. I wish you actually believed that. That you knew that God was working on you. That he was changing you. That he was making you after his own image. And I know. You don't always feel like that's happening. Some of you got up this morning and the old you jumped to the forefront. And you wonder for a moment, is Jesus really at work? Excuse me, or am I the same fool I used to be? Is Jesus really at work? Or am I the same angry person I used to be? Is Jesus really at work? Or am I the same lustful person I used to be? Is Jesus really at work? Or am I the same doubting person I used to be? Don't get afraid. When I walk the aisle, I'm not looking at you. I'm really not. I don't know none of your stuff. You know your stuff, though, right? And so what I'm saying to you is just this. That if your faith is in Christ, you're not what you used to be. God really has done a work. And here's the good news of the gospel. He's still working. And he will bring that work to completion. Amen, people of God. You are no longer a people who are defined by sin and death. You are now a people defined by obedience and life. Remind each other of this word of the gospel of God's rescue. The Lord has saved you. If your faith is in him, he has rescued you. He has brought you into the kingdom of his son, the kingdom of the son he loves. You are no longer in darkness. You have now been rescued into life and to light, into truth. And all that flows from that. Amen, people of God. There are going to be failures in your life. Individually, corporately, there's going to be failures in our lives as God's people. It is at those times that you have to remind each other again of the Lord's rescue. Pastors, preach this good news. Let the people hear each week the gospel of God's grace that exposes the old and proclaims the new. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering around this message of the gospel. New City, when a brother or sister among you fails, remember the word of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians and put it into practice. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person what? Gently. Watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. But here's what he said. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Pray with each other. Encourage each other. Admonish each other all around this gospel. If folk fail in their speech with one another, apply the gospel, calling them to remember that they were rescued in order that they might speak words of kindness to one another. Remind them that the reason they ought not speak that way anymore is because they've been rescued from that. By the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If someone gives themselves over to anger, don't respond by giving them anger back. Remind them of the gospel. Remind them that God has rescued them from that, that he has made them after his own son, and that that's not how God wants them to walk and live and act and behave, because they've been rescued. If someone fails in reconciliation with a brother or sister who is not from their tribe, apply the gospel and remind them that they were rescued in order that they might embrace the other as a full member of the family of God alongside them. Wherever the failure presses in, you know how it's to be met? It's to be met with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen, people of God. Amen. So this reminder is a reminder of God's rescue, but it's also a reminder to all of us to devote ourselves to what is good. The God who has been good to us has laid on us the call to give ourselves to doing good in this world. We were not rescued out of the world. We were rescued in it. What I mean is that we were separated from the world, not so we could abandon it, but so that we might engage it with the trustworthy word of God's kindness and love in Jesus Christ. You know this. You know this. God didn't save the world by condemning it. He saved it by entering into it through the person and work of his Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. God didn't bolt from this world when we jacked it up. He came to it. He didn't abandon humanity when it rejected him. Instead, he wrapped himself in that humanity, bore its griefs, bore its pains, its wounds, its insults, its affliction, even to the point of death on a cross, in order that people like you and me might experience the fullness of God's glory in his kindness and in his love. And it's that God who says to a people into whom he has poured his spirit, his very self, he says to us, you now go and do likewise. And this goodness that we're called to devote ourselves to is not meant to discriminate. This is what the Apostle Paul, this is how he starts the chapter. He starts the chapter the way he does. He says this: remind the people to be subject to who? Did you hear me when I read it? Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities. Did you skip over that part? Did your mind go blank when that part was read? Be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. The good we do, we must do to and for everyone. I'm going to say it again. The good you're called to do, you're called to do it for everyone. You say, come on, preacher. Surely that doesn't include everyone. I mean, I got some people on my list that I don't like. I don't even want to pray for them. And you're talking about doing good to them. Surely. Surely that's a misprint. Surely Paul doesn't mean that, right? Maybe it wasn't in the original manuscript, Roy. It's in there. Do good to everyone. Here's what Paul says, just in case you didn't get it. And I want you to stress these things, he says, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to what is good. Remind each other that even though we must cry out for justice against oppression and evil, we must do so with a commitment to doing good to everyone. Oppressed, and watch this, oppressor alike. God has set us in this city. He set us in the communities that he has set us in, New City. And so from the officials of our city to the homeless on the street, we've been called to do good. And what we must be constantly asking God to show us is ways to bless this community into which God has set us. Pray for your city officials, both those you like and don't like. Support the work of your community where it is in keeping with the kingdom of God. Where you see your officials doing good, ask God to help you as a church, help us as a church to support and encourage that good. And where you see the community neglecting that good that God calls us to, be an example by pressing into those areas with the love of God, with this message of the kindness and love of God that is in Jesus, our Savior. And so the calling, you know it because you hear it all the time. Assist widows, love fatherless children. Bring the homeless poor into your home. Pursue peace with those who make themselves your enemies. You may not know this, but the pursuit of God's goodwill at times will bring you into conflict with the very authorities you're called to do good to. But don't let their evil cause you to hate them or to turn and do to them what they've done to you. Here's the call of the Apostle Paul. Keep praying. Keep doing good. Because this is how the message of the gospel is communicated to the world around us. Amen, people of God. And I know. You don't always see how the good you do is making an impact. Some of you, if you're honest, don't raise your hand. Look at the good even the church does, and you think, is it really doing any long-term good? Like, you don't say that when you're in church, because this is not, you're not supposed to say that here, right? You're supposed to act like it's all good. But if you're honest, some of you go home and you ask yourself, is it really doing good? Can I just tell you something this morning? And I need you to hear this. You ready? It ain't about you. Really ain't about you. You know who it's about? Come on. It's about Jesus. You know what Jesus says? You know what he says? When you assist the poor, you're doing what? You're doing the good that I call you to do. It's like you've done it to me. When you help those who are in prison, what? It's like you've done it to me. When you feed someone who doesn't have food, it's what? It's like you've done it to me. Do good. And God will use that good to build his kingdom. Amen, people of God. So what are you reminding each other of? You're reminding each other of the Lord's rescue. You're reminding each other to do good. Here's the last one. You're reminding each other to avoid the unprofitable sin of divisiveness. Paul ends this section with a warning. And it's a warning to avoid quarreling over things that are not profitable to the advance of the trustworthy gospel. So he just said, right, that this is the good news of the gospel. I want you to remind each other of this good news. The Lord has rescued you. I want you to remind each other to do good. But I also want you to remind each other to avoid divisiveness. Why? Because that divisiveness will do what to that trustworthy gospel that you are meant to be reminding each other of in the body of Christ? It will actually destroy that work. So he says, avoid foolish controversies. Avoid controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law because they are unprofitable and useless. I said earlier that even Christians can lose sight of the trustworthy word of the gospel of God's kindness, right? Even Christians can lose sight of the trustworthy message of God's love in Jesus. And when that happens, we start reaching for other words. We start reaching for other messages to jump on board with, right? When this happens, we can quickly find ourselves quarreling over things that are not actually at the heart of the gospel of God's grace. And so the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, compassion, they get pushed down the priority lists. And we start quarreling about stuff that really isn't at the center of what God wants us to be about as his people. And for Paul, this could even mean something as central to the Jewish community as circumcision, right? Galatians 6, I just want to remind you of something Paul says there. In Galatians 6, chapter verse 12, Paul says, he says this. He says, those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in what? The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. What matters? What matters? What's central? What's at the top of the list? What is the thing that actually should unify all of us? It is the message of the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What matters is what advances the trustworthy word of God's kindness and love through our Savior who died on the cross for our sins. What matters is what advances the trustworthy word of God's grace. What matters is the gospel. Remind them, New City, remind each other of this call to avoid that divisive spirit that picks fights about all the wrong things. Now, since we don't fight around here, you can just take that message and give it to somebody else. Because right, we don't never fight. No quarrels in New City, right? If you're going to fight, here's what Paul says. Fight for God's mercy, for God's compassion, for the spread of the word of God's kindness and love in Jesus. This is the thing that ought to be central in our lives. So I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, this morning, not to let divisiveness capture your hearts. And the way to do this is to remember that the person you want to quarrel with is not only made in the image and likeness of God, but if they are a believer, remember that God thought enough of them to give the blood of his son for them. So before you condemn another brother or sister in Christ, before you write them off, before you kick them to the curb, before you, what do you do on Facebook? What do you do on Facebook? Before you unfriend, sorry, it's not my medium of communication. Before you condemn another brother or sister in the Lord, remember God thought enough of them to give the blood of his son. Before you quarrel, before you write off, remember that. And this will be a huge help in keeping you in unity with one another. May you never have a truly divisive person among you. Yet if you do, and they will not listen to the trustworthy word of the gospel of God's kindness and love, Paul actually encourages a very hard thing. You know what the hard thing he says is? If someone is truly divisive, meaning they are intent on fighting around things that are not at the heart of the gospel, you know what Paul says? He says a very hard thing. He says, have nothing to do with them. Now, why does Paul say that? Does Paul say that because he is writing them off? What is Paul doing when he says, have nothing to do with them? What is he trying to do for that other person, you think? He's actually trying to get them to confront the reality of what they're doing in order that they might be what? Actually, truly drawn back into the family. Here's the prayer that God will guard you from disunity and from anyone who would seek to promote that in your midst. And so I want to say to you, New City, may the Lord be with you in this, that his name would be glorified in you, and that through you, for the community in which he has set you, that he might through you proclaim to those around you the trustworthy word of God's kindness and love, which has come in Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know how people will see it? They'll see it as you forgive one another, as you care about one another deeply, as you repent of your sins and confess them and repent them of them. People will then see in you the goodness of the gospel. And that will be for them God's entry into the community of God's grace. Amen. Is this a good gospel? It's a good gospel. And so here's what Paul says. I'll close. Remind them. They ain't what they used to be because they've been rescued. Remind them. God has done good to them. Remind them to do good to others. And remind them that God is for their unity. So remind them not to be divisive, because God will be at work through them to make known the goodness of the gospel of his kindness and love, which is in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen, people of God. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, we need you to do this work in our hearts, in our lives. We need you to help us to remember the gospel ourselves, to be renewed by it, to be restored by it. And then, Lord, we need you to do a work in us that we would be constantly and always reminding each other of this good news of the gospel at every level of the life of our church. Lord, that we will be reminding people of God's kindness, that we will be reminding them of God's love in everything we do, Lord. As a community, we pray the gospel of our Savior would be made known among us. So we pray, guard us from the evil one, guard us from our own flesh, guard us from the world around us, guard us from the divisiveness that tears apart communities, Lord, and help us to demonstrate to one another and to the world around us the good news of this grace. We need your help to do it, because in and of ourselves, Lord, we have not the power, we have not the will, and we have not the ability to accomplish the task. But thank you that your Spirit is in us and among us for these very things. So be with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.